Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Better Living. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. Wrapping up our conversation about one community, I just got done with Nick Galanis, president. We started off with Tony Brinker, founder and CEO. We now turn to Dwayne Thompson. He is the chief of staff of One Community. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Glad to be here.
How you feel?
I feel great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. All right, so I love doing the longer interviews with organizations like this. You talk to different representatives. You understand this organization better. You are chief of staff of One Community. What do you do for the organization?
Well, I recently retired from Dallas Police Department back in January after 27 years. And so my role is a dual role, whereas I act as a liaison, if you will, between law enforcement and the community. And so a lot of our programs involve law enforcement and community. So I go out and I work with both sides to bring them together and to help pull off the events and things that we're trying to do.
What did you do for DPD?
As all officers, I started off in patrol years ago and spent the majority of my career as an investigator.
Are you from Dallas?
No, I am not. I'm from Ohio.
How did you wind up at DPD if you're from Ohio?
Well, I was in the United States Army. I was a captain in the Army. And after Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, I was in Oklahoma at Fort Sill. Had never been to Texas in my life. And the Dallas Police Department was recruiting in Oklahoma at the time. And I was just kind of being nosy, seeing what was going on. And 27 years later, here I am.
Was it something that you expected that you would do?
No, not at all. At the time, the armed forces were downsizing, and I was undecided as to what I was going to do. Actually, I was getting ready to take another deployment and just kind of thought about it for a minute and say, hey, well, let me check this out. And like I said, 27 years later, I am.
Were you an MP?
No, I was military intelligence / MP. So obviously, you know something about that.
All right. So you have, you had a little bit of understanding of what you were getting into.
Exactly.
And you decided to be DPD. And so you worked in the Homicide Division too, I believe?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So you spend 27 years with the Dallas Police Department and you retire. Did you know you wanted to get involved or you wanted to stay involved somehow with law enforcement in the community?
No. Actually, what happened was I was thinking about retiring, but I hadn't made up my mind. And this opportunity came along actually last September. And so over the course of a few months of meeting with Ms. Brinker and being able to see the program and traveling with her around the United States while I was still pretty much active with DPD, she offered me a position and I felt it to be attractive and everything else is history.
What about the organization spoke to you? Being in law enforcement for so long, being a part of the community for so long, seeing the good and bad of the city of Dallas, what made you want to be a part of One Community?
Well, a lot of the successes that I had as an investigator, it came by way of help from the community. And that was something that I passed on to my colleagues. I was a trainer for years with Dallas. And I would always impress upon officers that in order to have any success in terms of doing what peace officers do, you have to have the help of the community. And so this was a no-brainer for me because, as the title says, One Community, it's all about getting out, reaching out and talking to people and having people understand that you're original and genuine. And so it was very attractive and it's something that I like to do. And I enjoy talking to people and being around people. And sometimes people realize whether you're for real or whether you're genuine. So that's the scope of what we do is building those types of relationships and getting people to trust in you. And then you have everything you need after that.
Working with the community, is that something that you had to learn the hard way as a police officer, or did someone teach you that, the idea that you really have to be involved with the community and be a part of them to better serve them?
It's a little bit of all of it. You know, as a kid growing up in Ohio, even now, I was heavily involved in the church. And so you know, I was a community type police officer. That's just the kind of guy I was. And so there was really no transition involved coming to one community, but it was important for me to be able to impress upon Ms. Brinker and Nick that I was someone that they could trust, that understood and understands the importance of how we interact with the community and what it is I could bring to the table to make it work.
Is there a tip or a trick that you're able to use to bring together the community and law enforcement? I think that after conversations start, they kind of just naturally flow. It's easy. Sometimes starting that conversation can be tough. You talk about how that's how you spent your career. It's what made you successful as a detective. And now you're bringing that to one community. How do you start these conversations and learn to bring these two communities together?
You know, I think everybody, just kind of like what Nick said, and thinking back when I was with Dallas and working cases, when you meet people, they don't know you and you don't know them. And sometimes after a minute of just talking and going back and forth, we realize that we share things and we have things in common. And sometimes before discussing business, you can just talk a little bit about, you know, I'm from Ohio, where are you from? And the next thing you know, people kind of forget, you know, this guy, he's a cop, or this guy is this, or the guy is that. And now you're just two people talking. Mm. And I think for the most part, most people are like that. You know, I think we sometimes take for granted that we're all pretty much the same. You know, we all have our baggage. I have mine. But, you know, if we can learn to just talk and work things out and be who we are and be original, people appreciate that. And they do. And the next thing you know, you've made friends. You've made friends with people that whom you probably never in your wildest dreams would have thought that you would have been a friend of.
For some of these gatherings that you guys have, do the first responders, do they wear uniforms or are they in street clothes?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And that's a good thing also, because it's always amazing, you know, after sitting there eating with someone and then this guy realizes this guy's a cop or this person is this. And it lets them know that, hey, this guy is exactly like me. You know, this person has kids and they go to church and they hang out and do things like I do. So it's just beautiful being able to see the things that one community has been able to do and the possibilities of what we can do if we just get people to get on board and participate and help out. And we can change the world, not just us, it's not just one community, all of your organizations and your nonprofits and your Boy Scouts and your Girl Scouts, all collectively we can change the world.
There's a ton of different services and programs that this organization provides. Is there one that stands out to you? Is there something that one community does that you really like?
Yes, well, I like all the programs, but you know, I have some that are my favorite. Particularly, I like Shop Talk a lot, and I also I'm a big fan of Foundation of Trust, Speed of Trust, Foundation of Trust, because it gives people a chance to really get together and interact and work things out. And I don't want to piggyback Nick, but the things that Chief Spivey and Irving has done to me has been paramount. And I'm just praying that all of our departments, not only locally but abroad, take notice of some of the great things that he has done, because those programs allow for all of us to get involved. You know, not just peace officers, but, you know, moms, dads, and regular everyday people to get involved and just see the beauty of what it's like when you come together. What he's done out there has been phenomenal.
How important is it to have administration and just guys in the force be a part of this organization? Does it matter to have one or the other? Do you need both? How does that work as far as bringing the institution in?
You know, I think I'm qualified to say this, and because I spent 27 years on the job, and it all starts with the chief of police, because the chief of police, he or her, they're there to set directives, and those directives are followed by the people that come below them. And so anytime you have a chief that says, this is what I want to do, and not only say it, but actually do it. And I've had eyes on that program, and I've been there, and I've seen it. And there's something impressive about when you see the chief of police serving lunch to men and women of the community, and there's no media there. You know, there's no one there taking pictures. He's doing it because he is concerned about building a genuine relationship with people. And so, you know, it starts at the top. You know, once that commander or that chief decides, I want change in my community, and when they do the things overtly to make that happen, then it trickles down. And so that's the key to it. You know, you have to have chiefs and commanders with open minds and willing to do the type of things to bring people together.
What do you hope for this organization? What do you want to see this organization achieve? What do you want it to do?
Well, I'm hoping there comes a time, and it feels like it's happening now when we're all over the United States. And because when that happens, it'll be clear that we're really beginning to touch a large majority of people. And so that's exciting to me. It's a little too much for me right now, and because this is all new. But to be global would be huge.
How long have you been in with the organization?
Oh, my Lord. It's been 8 months, so I'm still trying to get the water off my feet.
It's exciting, though, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Have you worked with nonprofits before?
No, this is the first time for me, and I feel more like a citizen. I am a citizen now, and so I feel more like a citizen than a peace officer, and that's fine with me, because I like being the citizen now, who at any time can revert back in my mind of what it takes to make both those sides come together.
Does it feel weird sometimes to know that you're a citizen now?
Yeah, but that's okay, because it's okay, because I've looked forward to becoming a citizen for so long, whereas that's not my responsibility on that end. So now I've taken on another responsibility, that of the citizen, and I'm hoping for all of your listeners that we as citizens have a duty, and we have an obligation to get involved, to participate, and to love each other, and to get behind organizations like One Community and say, look, here, what can I do to help?
Are you guys looking for volunteers?
Absolutely. I piggyback, Nick. We're looking for donations, volunteers, supporters, fans, you know, you name it. That's what we're looking for. We're like any other organization. You know, the more, the better.
Dwayne Thompson is the chief of staff for One Community. Their website, onecommunityusa.org. It was great speaking with you. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.